I was asked a while ago, Pastor Sharon, Stan and myself sat in a little room as we do, and usually Sharon and I just sit there to, you know, beat Stan up and get him in order and stuff. But we went through the book of Ephesians when we were playing the Me And series. This is the Me And series. We're talking about relationships and God's plan for relationships. And they got to this bit and they said, well, Father's Day is just the one that's just been, and so we need to talk about dads and that sort of after. And this bit lands here, and Stan's going to be away. He's away at the moment. He's wagging, church. Let's just join in prayer. Father God, we pray for Stan's soul. Anyway, he's got the mic next week, I'm ruined. Anyway, and they said, marriage, that's this week. Justin, you can speak on that. And that's when I looked for a corner to hide in. Because I tell you, of all the jobs that I've done in ministry, marrying people is when I get most nervous. It's weird. I walk into a wedding ceremony and I feel like I haven't prepared enough. I feel like the words on the page aren't good enough. I feel like I'm going to mess up. Anybody been part of a bridal party? Who's been part of a bridal party? Who's worn a bad dress? I mean, come on. I mean, not me, but you know. Weddings are those things. They put you on edge. You're like, I've got to get this right because this moment is really, really, really important. And you want to get this right. And you think, even if you've been the best man, if there's a few of you who've been the best man and you reach into your pocket for those rings, and there's that moment where you think, I hope they're there. I hope they're there. Or that moment where you go to say those three words you have to say, or maybe it's two, I do. And you think, I'm going to mess this up. Do I? It's one of those days, and of all of the jobs that I do and all of the tasks that I undertake in ministry, I get really nervous doing weddings. And I've spoken to a fair few other ministers that do the same. I've done some really interesting ones. I've done weddings at a yacht club that was really nice, overlooking the Sydney Harbour. Lovely. Gorgeous. You're all imagining that. I've done them in churches. I've done them in big open fields. I've done them in backyards. The one thing I know about wedding days is everybody is on their toes. Everybody's just got their one thing they're going to do. It's a very, very focused kind of day. But funny things happen on wedding days, don't they? One of the funniest ones was I was out on the Ballarine Peninsula. We were doing an outdoor wedding. They put the rose petals all down the middle of the aisle and everything was rustic. Is that right, Abby? Rustic. Just lots of wood everywhere. Rustic just means get your old man to go down the farm, chop up a tree and place it somewhere. That's all that means. Put candles on top of it. I don't know. Anyway, it was lovely. And we had one of these arches. By the way, hang on. Is anyone else? Did I ruin it? Is it off center? Beck, come and judge this. This is very important, guys. This is very important that we get this right. Okay, we're going to get this on center. Do we go left or right? Is everyone okay? Okay, it's a wedding day disaster. There we go. Have we got it right now? Is everyone okay? Is everyone comfortable with the symmetry of the room now? Because this is important. Oh, no, not the fake flowers. Oh, wow. I mean the real flowers that we imported from Vanuatu. This is the kind of detail we go to. So I'm standing there and the bride comes down and the musician plays and everything's lovely. I'm looking this way and the sun is shining. The congregation are looking that way and a storm is coming over the bay. I can see the congregation getting more and more sort of, they look maybe concerned. I'm thinking, is something wrong with what's happening right now? And just as the bride sort of goes to get her veil off, for some reason, as she lifts the veil, I think she must have lifted it, a gust of wind just went. And we were talking about the parents, and the parents were supposed to say, who gives away this bride or whatever? The gust of wind catches her veil, rips it from her hair, and plants it square on her father's face sitting in the front row. We get to the communion, because often I do communion in weddings. This is a really solemn moment, isn't it? Communion is a solemn moment. It's getting darker that way. I still can't see that it's getting darker that way. I get... times like this, you wish you had someone who was just nice enough to warn you. You know, Guys, can I just say to you this morning, if anything bad happens back there, feel free to tell me. I can't see, all right? Tell me. So there's this storm coming. I get the Bible open. We're about to break bread. As I go to break the bread, I kid you not, one of those winds that can only happen beside the ocean just blows through the whole place. Petals go everywhere. The bride's hair goes kind of, because on the wedding day, the bride's hair is very on purpose. It was no longer on purpose. And the groom is now grabbing his jacket and hiding. And I'm thinking, but this is a solemn moment, God. What are you doing? So I just went, okay, all right, take the bread, break the bread. Here's the bread. There's the wine. Okay. And Lord, bless this wedding. Let's go. And the entire congregation stood up and bolted for the covered area. And it was a beautiful wedding. Weddings are these massively focused moments. But that little moment there went, that's kind of what a marriage is like. Weddings are kind of these, and there's this incredible focus, and we're going to get this all precise and right. But marriage is a lot more like that moment that I just described. It's a lot more like winds blowing from the left and the right, and things coming out of left field, and moments happening that throw you off and change the way your hair looks in the mirror. It used to look different in the mirror for me. Marriage is a profound mystery. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 is. If you take nothing else away from this morning, just write that down. This is a profound mystery. It's the most unique relationship a man and a woman can have. It's the most unique representation of Christ's relationship to his church. We are the bride of Christ. And this is the one time where the guys have to be okay with the feminine. The girls have to be okay with the masculine all through Scripture. We're the bride of Christ. Boys, all right?
Okay. Yeah, right.
Here's my tips. This is important for all the married people and for all the people who are thinking of getting married one day. Here's my tips. Don't skimp on preparation. Preparation is essential. When I do weddings, the first thing I do is say to the couple, have you done some counseling together? Because this isn't about the 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes we're going to spend trying to get a wedding ceremony done. This is about setting you up for life. So have you learned how to communicate? Have you learned how to do conflict resolution? Have you learned how to talk about money? Have you learned how to talk about sex, power, and all of those things? These things are real, and they can wreck a relationship within days. One of the saddest things was a young couple that I married that within a month had broken up. And when I look back, it's really simple. I told the couple to do some prep. I went back and did some reconnaissance. They hadn't done any prep. There was other issues going on. But I thought, why go to all that trouble of that one moment? Just to say a month later, that doesn't matter anymore. Preparation is something you can't skimp on. Invitation is something you can't skimp on. When I married my wife, I invited her into every part of my life, and she me. She's still regretting some of those choices. But invitation is a continual thing. You get to know about this good side of me that you see on the day with the white suit and the things and everything's pretty. And you get to see me when I'm angry, when I'm ticked, when I'm stressed, when anxiety has overtaken me. You get to see me in all of these extremes. And you get to love me right the way across those extremes. There's already a couple of little nudges going on in the congregation. Preparation is key. Invitation is key. And of course, you can't skimp on love. Love. Love is a fascinating thing, but I tell you that we can't simplify love. You have to add the complex definitions of love to fully understand it. I must say, though, that I thought what I'd do for you this morning is actually show you some of my best work. I've done a few weddings now, and I thought maybe I could give you a little example. Is that all right? Little example. All right, so I captured a bit of film. I don't know if we got the film there, guys. Here we go.
marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Surely some of my best work. I know I looked a little different, a little pastier. But sometimes we like to giggle about weddings, don't we? Because they're just a bit silly, really. Are they a bit silly? Because they don't really represent marriage. They just represent a celebration. But what I do want to say to us this morning is that if you are not married, if you have lost a marriage, if you are still in that place of going, I wish I could get married, this message is for you too. I don't want anybody to sit in this space thinking, I can't get anything from this, or I'm feeling bad because of what the guy's saying about marriage. I need you to understand that the don't skimp on preparation, that the don't skimp on invitation, and the don't skimp on love elements apply to relationships across the board. Relationships that have depth and breadth have all of those elements in them. So we need to keep coming back to that place of preparation. The psalmist says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of my enemies. In other words, there is always a table to come back to. When you understand God's relationship to his church, there is always a table for you to come back to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not be in lack. There is always a table for you to come back to. And this gathering of the saints represents a little bit of that picture. But God has got people everywhere ready to support you. Part of the preparation thing is understand that there are other people there to help out in the preparation. One of the mistakes I make in my life often is I try to do it all by myself. Marriage is one of those things that says, stop it. Stop doing that. Ask for help. Ask others to help you prepare. Doing the dishes is kind of cathartic. I don't mind doing them. I get into my zone and I go wash, rinse, dry, put away, done. There's a process there that's kind of cathartic. I want my children to do the dishes more. Sorry, was that a prophetic word for someone? But when they join in, they wreck the process. Scotty and I get along fine. They wreck the process, but inviting others in and preparing a table is just about sharing and letting other people interact with your world. Don't isolate yourself. That's what this whole Ephesians book is about. Don't isolate yourself. Don't try and do life alone. Keep the invitation open. Recognize that there is a table prepared for you. The psalmist goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. In other words, I don't walk beside quiet waters. I allow him to lead me beside quiet waters. And don't skimp on love. I don't know if you've noticed this part, but it says, he restores my soul. A good, loving relationship that has invitation and preparation in the back end has love as its foundation. It's one of those things that restores your soul. When it's good, it restores your soul. That's the kind of relationship we're looking for. That's the kind of relationship we're desperately seeking for. When I look at Ephesians chapter 5, I find a whole lot of preparation in it. And it fascinates me. And you can flick through it if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. It starts with this simple sentence. You ready for it? Be imitators of God. And I think we could just say, here endeth the lesson. Be imitators of God? Just look around the room and see if you can find someone who's imitating God right now. Not acting like God. Be imitators of God. What a challenge. So it starts with an impossibility. Verse 3 says, dispel even a hint of immorality. I don't know about you, but I'm not that perfect, and I find that one pretty impossible too. Verse 6 says, do not be deceived by empty words. Who amongst us hasn't made an empty promise every now and again just to get the conversation going or just to get out of that space, whatever it is? I don't think I can say that my life is entirely free of empty words. Verse 8, live as children of the light. I feel like I can do that one. Children of the light, that's okay. I just need to walk with a smile on my face. Remember, you've got to be imitating God though. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Okay, here's an instruction I can kind of understand. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek Him in the gathering of the saints. I'm going to find out a little bit. So it starts to feel like I can do that. Then it says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't see any hands up. In other words, don't run away from yourself. Don't run away from yourself, it says. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do you know you leave a melody in another person's life? Think of the person that has annoyed you the most. Actually, it's going to get really negative for a second, but it's all right. There is something playing in your head right now, over and over. It was a thing they said. It was a thing they did. And you can't remember, maybe you can't remember the context for that. Maybe you're not thinking of the whole journey. There's just one thing that happened and it plays over and over and over and over in your mind. That's the negative version of this. If we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, there's no end of words we can speak to each other. But what if we left a positive taste with one another? What if we spoke of love? What if we left a melody that repeated over and over and over again, that when I interact with that person, that melody really lifts me up? We can speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Maybe you just want to walk up to the person today and say, this is how I fight my battles. You might think that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by Him. We leave a melody with one another. So speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's the setup. The setup for the next verse, this incredibly powerful verse in Scripture, this really controversial Scripture that we're about to read. Some of you have read ahead, you know what it says. The chapter starts, the beginning point is be imitators of God. And the pivot point is submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. And then it says this, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Now, this is one of those scriptures that has been used and abused. It's been used by all sorts of hierarchy in all sorts of ways to wreck lots of stuff. I put it to you, if that's a scripture that wrecks stuff, then we haven't read the first part of that chapter. So I've decided this morning that as a middle-aged white bloke, I am not going to preach to you about that verse. Instead, I'm going to ask the very strong women in my life to preach to you about it first. Is that okay if I just get out of this one? I'm going to get out of this one and throw to some very wise women. Let's bring the lights down and we'll go to the film, see what they have to say. These are the three very strong women that I wanted to interview for this. This is my mother, Dr. Reverend Pastor Julie Gall.
No.
This is my little sister, Pastor Emily, and this is my Master of Art Therapy therapist wife, Jodie Norrell.
I do.
So
it's very pastoral.
I just like to thank all these incredible women in my life.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So Ephesians chapter 5 is a bit of a talks about speaking to each other in songs. Verse 21, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. This is what verse 22 says. You've got it. It's a real Bible. It's a real thing. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Direct from the source what it's like to trust the word of God and to hear words like that. My wife.
I'll be truthful with what my gut said.
Good.
I don't like that. Fear is our biggest trouble when we even come to God. We fear that we can't trust Him and He's perfect. Our husbands are not God. We're supposed to trust and have no fear in trusting that you would look after me the way the Bible says you would look after me. It is a beautiful reading because what it says is a husband will give up their life like Christ gave up his for mine. That's what we're all aiming for, is a marriage that we're able to trust our life into the hands of someone that will care for us like Christ cared for us.
Right. So your response to that scripture?
Well, I would teach it with a lot of compassion and understanding of the role that you play in a partnership. You've actually made the choice to commit to each other for life. Like, it's an amazing thing, isn't it, really? Together, you partner in something pretty dynamic. And if you do it God's way, it is even more dynamic than you could ever ask for or think of or imagine. I love working on teams with men and women. I like the mixture. I think it brings a balance to everything we do.
So you don't read this as something that allows, say, Dad to pull rank?
Well,
could he even pull rank if he tried?
Well, he could if he wanted to, but I don't know how far he'd get. And I say, no, come on, you're the guy. You make the decision. He'll go, well, what do you think? And then after we've talked, he'll go, yep, I think that too.
Right.
So that makes for a happy marriage. And I think it says in the Message Bible, it talks about the man actually taking a leadership role and the woman taking a supportive role. Now, that might sound demeaning to women. I don't find that demeaning at all. I find it very secure, very safe. Here's this guy who's promised to take leadership for my family.
Yeah.
I love that, and I will support him. And in supporting him, his leadership is even stronger. However, the man might be the head, but the woman, she is the neck that turns the head. It's kind of cool.
You're in that.
That's true.
All right.
When you read the Bible God's way as well, you see that we're asked to submit ourselves to one another in love. So there's no threat in that kind of thing.
Love you, Mum.
I love you too.
Mm. Em, I know that you've been teaching and preaching for a long time as well. I decided that perhaps a bloke talking about wives submitting to your husbands as to the Lord might sound a little bit...
like you're being a pig.
Oh, that's just harsh.
Well, that's what it comes across as.
All right, well,
you
talk to the people.
How would I teach that passage?
Yeah.
So the kicker for me in this one is that the submission comes from reverence. The way
the way you're revered?
No, the way I revere the person I submit to. Talking marriage? This is what we're talking. Okay, so I see it as the more I respect and honour my husband, the more I actually want him to be in charge. I want to be able to submit to him. Because actually it takes the pressure off. So I see it as out of reverence for him, my adoration, my love for him.
So you like that guy?
I really do.
All right.
Yeah. And the
You're all right, Sam. I don't mind you.
The more freedom I feel to be the woman God's called me to be. Yeah, I was married in 2003.
Right. So 1 year difference would mean...
Yep, that it's 17 years in January for me and it's 18 for you.
No, fair enough.
You know I love you.
Yeah, but I wanted the people to know.
Oh, I love him. My sister-in-law's better.
You suck. All right.
You have no choice. You need us. We know that.
We complete you.
We're the voices in your head. It went badly. Don't. Please check with Jody first.
I think this right.
Did that just go on? Oh, yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, but it's out of reference.
And it's good night.
It's good night from me. It's good night from them.
Justin, you survived.
So just reach your hands out and pray for me. Here's the thing. I think that marriage teaches us to narrow our focus and lengthen our stride. I think it's the relationship that tells us to just grow up. I don't know how qualified I am to speak on this. I have been married for 18 years, as my sister reminded me. We have 5 children and a very large mortgage. Does that count? But my wife is my best friend, and we work very, very hard on our marriage. And at times, we've taken time out to go and get some counseling together. We've gone to special events together to work on our marriage. And we've taken time out just together, to be together. And 18 years later, we still seem to like each other. which is a good thing. That's not true for everybody. I've got friends whose marriages have survived incredibly dark times, and I've got friends whose marriages have not survived incredibly dark times. I've got friends who I feel like they're not admitting that there's stuff going on, and friends that live out loud just a little too much. Marriages are very, very wide and varied. Culturally speaking, they are very, very wide and varied. I've been to African weddings and Indian weddings and Sri Lankan weddings and Aussie weddings and weddings all in between, and we do it all differently. We do relationship differently. Our culture teaches us different things about the role of the man and the woman, but this scripture says that we are to submit one to another out of reverence to Christ, that there is to be a headship in the family, but only once you've done the first part. If you can't say to me that I've done the preparation, that I've decided that I'm going to live my life trying to imitate God, and I'm going to pivot on this idea that I'm going to do it out of reverence for Christ, then don't try and tell me that you can lead a household. That's not how this scripture speaks to us. That's not what it says. It says, do all the preparation, keep the invitation coming, and lay love on as thick as you possibly can. Corinthians 13, love, if you can speak in tongues of angels and have so much wisdom and reveal all the mysteries of the world, but you have not love, you are just a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. That's all you are. In other words, if you don't have love, friends, you have nothing. Is that a little bit sobering? A wedding day is a thing that brings focus. It brings us into a point of saying, we stand under things like this and we go, all right, we'll decide together. On this day, we've done all of this work and we've narrowed our focus, and now we're going to take a stride. Can I get my bride and groom up here real quick? This is my special bride and groom that I prepared earlier. Have you guys been married before? We could do it right now if you like. This is Abby and Rob, everybody. They dressed up for the occasion. Okay. So here's how it works. Okay, no, face each other. Okay, say I do. Oh, wow. That was pretty good. Okay, now you've been married. Now we're going to turn and we're going to face the world. Now, Rob thinks that he should buy a car, and the car's over there. Go over there one step. And Abby thinks that she should invest more in her dance business. So she's going to go a step over there. And Rob thinks that he should probably just quit work and just become a struggling artist instead. So go a step over there. And Abby thinks they should have 7 children immediately. Just go over there. See, we've narrowed our focus, and now we've started to take some strides in an individual direction. And every marriage goes through this. Marriage is supposed to be that side by side all the way. But these two, as a married couple, have to decide to come back together, to be imitators of Christ, to submit one to another. And how are they going to do that when they're this far apart? So let's narrow our focus. And now we can talk again. Now we can talk to each other. Now you get to invite her into that space. Should I buy the car? Should we have 7 children? We'll get the car. Good call. Technically, that's a less expensive call too. I like that. But they've done all the preparation to get to this point. How many of us in our marriages do preparation to get to the next point and to the next point? This Ephesians chapter brings us back to that point of we're going to be imitators of God, and we're going to pivot on this idea that Christ is the one that we revere. Not even one another. We're going to revere Christ. Then we can learn to love one another in that deepest place, in that anchored place, in that place that restores one another's soul. Every marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. My parents have been married 47 years, I'm going to say. Something like that. 1975. Something like that. I'm really good with dates. And they seem to still like each other, which is fascinating to me as a child, because I've seen all of their flaws. And you know what? Kennedy's going to see all of your flaws too. But you're going to say to that child, Mummy and Daddy are going to keep narrowing our focus, and we're going to try as best we can to stride together. Because once you decide to step into this relationship, it's not baby steps anymore. It's big, long strides, and it's kind of exhausting at times. Anyway, you may kiss the bride. I want to encourage you. If you are married today, today might be a good day to remind yourself of what it will take to narrow your focus and then take a long stride together. Because baby steps aren't going to get it done for you. You've got to take some risks. You've got to take some punts. It's not all clear. It doesn't all make perfect sense. So narrow your focus. Bring it onto that place of being imitators of God. Do that preparation yourself. Be a good single person, by the way. Be a good single person. Allow your heart to focus on God and then come together in that relationship and share one to another. Be invitational. Open your whole life up and lay it thick with love. Not clanging cymbal gong kind of love, but love that doesn't keep a record of wrongs and love that gives and gives and gives some more. That kind of love. Friends, again, I want to say, if you are not married and you want to be married, if you've been married and you didn't want to talk about marriage today because that's the worst part of your story so far, I want to say to you, we have a God who is about redemption. We have a God who is about helping us take the next step. Marriage may not be in your story, but God wants us to understand something about it because it helps us understand His kingdom here on earth. I want you to walk from here with peace in your heart. I want you to walk from here knowing that those scriptures are hard to read sometimes if you haven't understood the context of them. Hopefully, I've done an okay job of helping you understand it. But when I talk to the women in my life and they tell me things like that, I'm kind of like, whoa, guys, gentlemen, do you understand? Do you understand how serious this is? Do you understand your responsibility? Do you understand that you have to give up you to do this well? Christ gave Himself up for His church. Gentlemen, take this seriously. Treat the women in your life with the utmost respect. Treat them with gentleness, with kindness, and with care. If you struggle with anger, if you struggle with, passive aggression, whatever it is, take that to the Lord. Do something about that. Prepare your heart better so that when you come into these key relationships, you're not bringing pain, but you're bringing beauty. Wives, feel free to give us a kick to do this better. I've said this to my wife many, many times. I can't read your mind. It sort of sounds funny, but I do mean it. You have to tell me directly because I'm a bit of an idiot. What have I missed? Don't skimp on invitation. Don't skimp on preparation. Don't skimp on love. Narrow your focus and take long strides together. If we can do just a few of those things outlined in the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 5, then we can look at this idea and we could be a church that actually represents marriage well. I hope you're encouraged by these scriptures. I hope you're built up by these scriptures. And I hope from here you can find a way to take some long strides together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the incredible gift that marriage is. Can be. Lord, I pray that there would be healing for those of us who feel like we failed in this respect. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, that we would know that your mercy is as good today as it was the day before and the day before that, and it'll be good tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. That you don't keep a record of wrongs against us. That you have taken what we have done and thrown it into the deepest sea. You've taken our sin and said it's as far as the east is from the west. It's forgotten, it's buried, it's washed away. Lord, I pray that this morning we would stand up in faith, knowing you are a God who has gone before us. You have given us a way to fight our battles and that you have prepared a table before us. that you lead us beside quiet waters and that you restore our soul. I pray for every marriage in this house right now and for every marriage that is represented by the people in this house right now and for those who are listening on the podcast and watching online. Lord, we pray for every marriage that you would strengthen it and that you would give us tools to make sure we work hard to hold these relationships together, that we would give everything of ourselves, that we would see this representation in our communities and we would provide strength for those around us. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. And all God's people say.